Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison, and I'm Jim Chapman. Y'all, Woody is still sick. Please send your prayers. He did record with me the other day, but he didn't feel good. He was running a slight fever, and, I'm not going to get into it much more than that, except to say we hope he heals up very, very soon and is back in full effect. So we're going to just move on and get into our subject for today. I do want to say that every item for our patron top tier members, our warden team, which is our highest tier on Patreon, they get a quarterly gift, and those quarterly gifts did go out the other day. I think I'm only waiting for two people's address that I emailed them. So if I didn't email you, I had your address. But I emailed those folks. So as soon as you email me back, I will ship those out to you. Thank you very much for your support. Those top tier members, we definitely couldn't do it without them. And look, if you can't do Patreon, we get it. And we understand that. Share the, support us by maybe sharing the podcast or something. It really helps. So we'll get into this part two of our, I don't know if I'd call it, investigation, but our look into the Ware Center for Youth. And last week, I kind of gave you one side of that equation, and that side was based upon an article that was put out by the New York Times that highlighted a lot of the issues that were going down with Ware Center for Youth. Through that, the governor of Louisiana at that time, John Bel Edwards, he requested that the, or he ordered the inspector general to look into these accusations. Obviously very concerning. If, you know, go listen to last week's podcast, if you have not, the part one of this series, and you'll see what I'm talking about there. So they did that. The inspector general looked into Ware, put out a very detailed report that we're going to get into today. And this report is rather interesting because it gets into specific incidents that happened at that Ware Center for Youth. And so we'll get into all that. Now, the investigation was completed on April 25th of 2024. So just a little over a month ago, month and a half ago, as of this recording. And the inspector general, he sent a kind of a cover letter to that report. It says the attached report details our investigation into the Ware Youth Center and its contract with the Office of Juvenile Justice. The investigation was conducted at the request of the Office of the Governor in a letter dated November 3rd of 2022. So this was a two-year investigation, or a year and a half investigation into that Center for Youth. So then it goes into, it gives you a little bit of the numbers. And we're going to break down these numbers because they're very important. Now, in this investigation, y'all, the primary focus was really to determine whether Ware is a safe and secure environment to house juveniles, right? Over the course of the investigation, the investigators visited Ware on 9 different occasions. Some of them were scheduled. They call, they tell them we're coming, and then some of them weren't. And that's important. Unannounced visits, you know, they don't have time to clean up messes, to put it bluntly. And so those unannounced visits are important. And they reviewed thousands of records in this investigation. There's things in these prisons and in youth facilities that are called critical incident reports. And when things happen outside of the norm, they type up these reports, and it's just a report basically of what happened. And they reviewed, they went back actually 5 years on that. So from 2018 to 2022, they reviewed not only the reports, handwritten reports, typed up reports, things like that, but also video footage and other relevant material. They talked to current and former juvenile residents of that Center for Youth. And they really dug into they performed a very good investigation, and the report is eye-opening. Now, some key numbers there. The 5 highest offending juveniles were involved in an average of 42 incidents each. These 5 repeat offenders were responsible for 164 of the 504 reported incidents. So what they're saying there is 33%, it breaks down to about 33%. 33% of the incidents that occurred were by the same 5 people. And it's important. 164 of the 504 reported incidents were by the same 5 people. So those were bad apples, likely, right? 23 juveniles were involved in 10 or more incidents each. These 23 repeat offenders were responsible for 300 of the 504 incidents. So that number, you know, what they're trying to point out there is these incidents aren't every single person in the youth center committing the same thing. It's a limited number committing the majority of the crimes within that or the incidents within that youth center. Now, another concerning thing that I told you about was the suicide attempts. And with regard to suicide attempts, the inspector general found that 40% of those attempts at Ware from 2018 to 2022, because remember they went back 5 years, involved the same five juveniles. 68% of the suicide attempts from that same time period involved the same 10 juveniles. Okay, and I'm just giving you numbers here. Then we'll get into what exactly happened. Escapes were brought up in the original New York Times report. And so they investigated that. They said of the 114 reported escapes, 86% involved juveniles who were outside of their authorized areas but remained on Ware property. The remaining 14% were actual escapes where juveniles left the Ware property and were later apprehended by law enforcement. I don't know if, what point they're trying to make there. I guess they're trying to say they never actually escaped. They were still on the property. They just escaped their unit. I mean, they're still trying to get out of there, right? 52% of the escapes involved the same five juveniles. 70% of the escapes involved the same 10 juveniles. Again, they're just given numbers. And in this report, it also says OIG also conducted a detailed review of three juvenile suicides that occurred at Ware in 2017 and 2019 and the actions that followed. OIG also reviewed Ware's reporting under the Prison Rape Elimination Act over that same time period, and the details are related below, and they get into the details, and we'll get into that. And just before we do, I want to give you just a brief history on Ware Youth Center. So it's located on 115 acres. It's on U.S. Highway 71, which is, and it's based near Coushatta, Louisiana. Ware opened in 1993 as a juvenile detention facility for pre-adjudicated juveniles who are awaiting court proceedings in delinquency cases. At opening, the facility had beds for 18 juveniles. Additional construction completed in 1996 increased that capacity to 32, where it remains today. The facility includes four areas called day rooms, each one separate from the other and housing up to 8 juveniles. One day room is for females. So let me make this point. The numbers I just read you didn't sound like a whole lot. You know, the 86%, 10 of the escapes, 10 were, 86% were the same 10 people. Okay. But you only have 32 total that you can house at that facility. So that's like almost half of the people you have housed there are trying to escape. So that's a bigger problem than what maybe they're putting out in that report. Juvenile detention facilities are locally run short-term secure facilities that provide temporary and secure custody of youth during the pendency of juvenile proceedings when detention is the least restrictive alternative available to secure the appearance of the youth. So to put that in layman's terms, it's somewhere they go before they're sentenced when the state of Louisiana is worried that they're not going to show up for court. Or they're a danger kind of to society. Now, in 1999, Ware opened a residential facility, which known as a group home. It consists of two cottages with 12 beds each for a total capacity of 24. Each of these cottages has three bedrooms with four beds each. Okay, so it gives you a little, you know, it grew as time progressed. So we're going to get into the, I guess, the more interesting stuff. And I do want to mention this. Kenneth Lofton served as executive director from Ware's opening until his retirement in August of 2015. It's interesting that Kenneth Lofton is now being looked at as the head of the OJJ. Just something to note there. And that's currently. Joey Cox has become executive director, had became executive director in 2015, served in that position until he retired in 2021. And upon Cox's retirement, Kenny Lofton returned to Ware as interim director and was named COO in February of 2022. He retired from that position in October of 2023. The current executive director is Stacy Scott, who was named executive director by the Ware board in February 8th of 2022. Okay. So let's talk about critical instances. I told you about those reports. And those include suicides, injuries, fights, things like that where people were injured. And they also have what's known as an unusual occurrence report. And that's a document that it has to be completed by the staff, and it reports incidents that may have an impact on any aspect of the agency. So it's really out of the norm occurrences at that prison. And we'll get into examples of some of those. And I say prison, it's really a youth center. So we're going to talk about some of the critical incidents at Ware. And as I told you, there was 504 of those that they, hey, y'all, it may be moving towards the end of another summer, but that doesn't mean I can quit watching what I eat. We all know home-cooked meals are so much better for you, but you don't always have time to pull it off. But with HelloFresh handling all the meal planning, shopping, and most of the prep, it's easier than ever to get dinner on the table quick and painless. There's always new flavors to explore with an ever-changing menu of 50 recipes to choose from every week. Just pick your meals and your delivery date. It's that simple. With summer in the rearview mirror and busier days ahead, now is the perfect time to save money when it comes to your dinner routine. Skip the meal planning and grocery store lines and cut down on food waste with HelloFresh's convenient doorstep delivery and pre-measured ingredients. My favorite aspect of HelloFresh is the vast array of menu options. Look, I can burn out on eating the same things over and over again, but with HelloFresh, I don't ever run out of options. Y'all, I tried the spinach one pan chicken last week, and all I can say is my mouth is still watering. It was that good. For free breakfast for life, go to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. One free breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life just by going to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Reviewed. Now, there were a total of 180 juveniles involved in critical incidents during that time from 2018 to 2022. And I'm going to give you an example first of some of these incidents. A juvenile scratching herself with a staple. These are considered suicide attempts. A juvenile scratching herself with a staple. A juvenile rubbing a pencil across her neck. A juvenile scratching herself with a strip of Velcro from a smock. And a juvenile on medication who was in an irritable mood and distraught and took no action towards self-harm or suicide, but apparently threatened it. A juvenile who tied a jacket around her neck and attempted to hang herself by attaching the other end to a restroom door hinge. A juvenile who tied a sheet around her neck and attempted to hang herself by attaching the other end to a shower head. A juvenile who drank 2 ounces of body spray, after which poison control was called and that juvenile placed on suicide watch. And a juvenile who locked herself in a medical room, broke into a medicine cabinet, and took 450 milligrams of Seroquel, which is a drug used to treat schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. She also took Benadryl 10, which is an allergy medication, dosage of 1 to 2 tablets. She took 10 tablets, rather. Ugh. It's horrible. Now, from 2017 to 2022, 3 suicide deaths did occur where? And I'm going to give you the sad details of some of these. On March 7th of 2017, a 16-year-old female was involved in this. At approximately 8 p.m. on March 7th of 2017, a 16-year-old female residing in Cottage 3 of the Ware Intensive Residential Facility Unit hanged herself in her room by using a bed sheet attached to a closet door. Group sessions were being held in the day room that evening, and when the juvenile was called for her session, she did not respond. She was found by a youth service worker who went to the room to check on the juvenile. Employees immediately began CPR and EMS, and the Red River Parish Sheriff's Office were called. A Red River Parish Sheriff's Office detective did arrive at 8:11 p.m. and EMS arrived at 8:12 p.m. EMS performed life-saving measures and transported the juvenile to the hospital, where she sadly was pronounced dead. Detectives observed a purple bed sheet was still hanging loosely on the top of the door hinge of the closet door, with the end still tied in a noose fashion inside the juvenile's assigned room. The sheriff's office interviewed 5 other juveniles assigned to that cottage, and none of them stated that the deceased had stated that she wanted to harm herself. The sheriff's office also interviewed Ware employees and those who came to assist, as well as a juvenile's grandmother and mother. A resident of DeQuincy, the deceased had been at Ware since 2016 in connection with a delinquency charge in Calcasieu Parish. The juvenile's mother told the sheriff's office her daughter had attempted to harm herself in the past and was taking medication for bipolar disorder. And then on February 7th of 2019, a 17-year-old male resident at the detention center committed suicide by hanging. The juvenile was arrested in Bossier Parish on December 26th of 2018 and was transferred the next day to Ware on a $500 bond to await his court appearance. Upon initial processing, he was questioned by the security staff about his general physical and mental health. The following day, he had received a more in-depth physical and mental health assessment by Ware's nurse and counselor. The juvenile was assigned to a room and allowed to make phone calls to his parents. Between December 27th, 2018, and February 2nd of 2019, the juvenile made 13 telephone calls to family. During one of those calls, he reportedly became upset and made a suicidal threat after being told he could not bond out. The juvenile also made statements to other juvenile residents expressing thoughts of suicide. Indications are that Ware staff was not made aware of these statements. and subsequently assessed the juvenile's tendency for suicide as low. On February 6th of 2019, the juvenile went on room confinement for disciplinary reasons and not allowed to make a scheduled phone call. On February 7th, the juvenile was of 2019, the juvenile requested to make a phone call but was denied because it was not a scheduled phone day. At 11:44 that night, a WARE staff member found the juvenile in a squatting or partial standing position with a sheet tied around his neck and attached to a security bar in the room's window. WARE staffs began CPR, contacted EMS, and upon arrival, the medics continued CPR, transported the juvenile to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Then on February 9th of 2019, a 13-year-old male resident committed suicide by hanging. The juvenile was arrested on February 1st of 2019, so just 8 days before this, on a charge of aggravated arson for setting a roll of toilet paper on fire while in the boys' restroom at a Bossier Parish school. On the evening of his arrest, the juvenile was transferred to the sheriff's office and then transferred to WARE and was booked at 7.05 p.m. The juvenile was assigned to room one in day room one. Following a hearing, the judge ordered the juvenile remain in, basically in the center pending a psychiatric evaluation. On February 5th of 2019, the juvenile was moved to a holding cell for disciplinary reasons. Witnesses interviewed by OIG stated that during daytime hours, the juvenile was free to and did move about the common areas, play video games, interact with staff and other residents, and have meals. Each night, he was placed back in the holding cell and the door locked until breakfast the following morning. On the night of February 9th, 2019, the juvenile was placed into the intake holding cell and the door was locked. At 11:30, he was found hanging from a sheet that had been fashioned in a knotted noose and hung from an inside door hinge. OIG investigators reviewed security footage and confirmed the check of the juvenile's holding cell took place at 9:13. So he basically did that in just about 2.5 hours. Following an investigation by Red River Parish Sheriff's Office, two staff members were arrested on felony charges of malfeasance. One of the staff members was arrested, but later died in an automobile accident in July of 2021. A felony prosecution against the other staff member remained pending as of this report. Now, following the two 2019 suicides, DCFS issued a statement of deficiencies to WARE. So they did an investigation back then, and they said, here's some issues that you have. They found out that WARE was deficient in the following areas: staffing requirements. You're supposed to do room checks every 15 minutes. Apparently, WARE didn't have the staff to do that. Mental health assessments. They felt like some of these assessments were either wrong or weren't being done. Clothing and bedding, the sleeping area, and then it has natural lighting. Sleeping area, tie-off points, and sleeping area doors. Obviously, these suicides I just told you about were, a lot of them were by hanging these sheets on door hinges and things like that. So I guess making the hinges to where they're hinged from the outside instead of the inside of the cell. In May 2023, you might find this interesting, WARE purchased body cameras to be worn by all detention youth center workers, and it is the law for them that they have to have those active at any time in any interaction with juveniles. And they have a little bit more to this, but I'm not going to get into that. It's just some really technical stuff that's not important to this story. But WARE did respond to this report on April 24th of 2024. And I wanted to read you that. And it is addressed to Stephen Street, who is the Louisiana Inspector General. And it says, Dear Mr. Street, Ware Youth Center has implemented several changes since the two suicides in 2019. There's some redacted information. Then it says Ware Youth Center purchased the Guardian RFID system. And look, I've actually done a podcast on local leaders of the podcast, which is one where I sit down local businesses and basically help them tell their story of how they grew up in their business, kind of a passion for me. And one of them that I did are the people that deal with this Guardian RFID system. So go check out local leaders and you can scroll down and find that. But this system allows for RFID tags to be mounted outside of each juvenile's room. It says staff is now required to use Ware Youth Center issued flashlights, make visual contact of the juvenile, scan the room tag before moving on to the next room. So this room tag, when you go up to it, you can scan it. And what it does is it just proves that you actually checked on this juvenile. It's going to alert somebody if you didn't. If a room check is late or missed, the system will send a text to the program manager. The program manager will then call the facility and check in with the supervisory staff to inquire why the check was late or missed. The system was purchased and installed on all Ware Youth Center programs by 2020. It goes on to say, as you are aware, redacted name, was able to remove the weather stripping from around the bar on his window in the assigned room and tie a sheet around the bar. The bar was then used as a tie-off point. The facility moved all the bars to the outside of the windows. As you are also aware, redacted name, was able to tie a sheet and use the hinge of the holding cell door as a tie-off point. The use of holding cells has been discontinued. I, as a director, hold the only keys to the holding cells. The facility has also purchased body-worn cameras for the detention staff. Staff are required to wear and activate the body-worn cameras anytime they are in an area where youth are present or when they are interacting with youth. The facility hopes to secure additional funding in the future to purchase body-worn cameras for all its programs. The facility has also purchased an alarm system that is activated after hours to prevent staff from exiting the administration area of detention. A loud audible alarm will sound and must be reset by administrative staff. Potential new hires are required to have an FBI background check in state central registries conducted, as well as take the Diana sexual risk screening and have a pre-hire psychological test performed. And y'all, I'm not going to get into it too much, but what the Diana sexual risk screening is just a series of psychological questions to try to determine whether you would obviously sexually rape someone. In May of 2021, the facility once again contracted with Missouri Youth Services Institute to train and coach staff to use the Missouri model in all its programs. Due to the lack of funding, the facility was forced to terminate the contract, but the use of the models continues in all Ware Youth Center programs. Also in 2021, the facility had a security fence constructed around the intensive residential facility. New doors and windows were also installed in the intensive residential cottages to enhance the security of the facility. This was at a cost of more than $1 million to the facility and to the taxpayer. They didn't put that part, I added it. In 2022, the facility renovated the detention control center and fire suppression system. The Vesta system was installed in the mechanical chases between each of the sleeping rooms. There are fire and smoke detectors constantly monitoring the air and alert staff of the earliest possible warning of a fire. As our note stated above, the facility has made many improvements throughout the years in our effort to keep you safe. If you have any questions or need additional information, please let me know. Stacy Scott, Executive Director. So that is the report, abbreviated report of Ware, the things that I thought you might find interesting. And So it does look as though they addressed the issues of note by the state inspector general's reports that he put out to them. Suicides, things like that, I guess they're trying, obviously, they're trying to rectify those situations. And they have made some massive improvements in relation to that, putting the doors outside, bars outside the building windows instead of inside so they can't use them as tie-off points. That's a big deal. Making sure the staff checks on these juveniles every 15 minutes by having to scan a barcode. That's huge. They know they have to do it now because if they don't, there's going to be an alert sent to the boss, right? So hopefully that will make a difference. A little bit different, something I wanted to just bring you that involved something to do with not necessarily prison, but a center for youth, a pre-adjudication center. I just thought you might find that interesting, and that is kind of big news here in the state of Louisiana. Again, we want to thank everyone for listening, sharing, all that sort of stuff. Patrons, our top tiers, those gifts are headed your way, and we sure hope you like those. We try to be innovative with them and different, and this is different. You won't expect what you're getting, and I hope you like it. Remind everybody, we have many other podcasts. Of course, we have Real Life Real Crime Daily that me and Woody do together, Real Life Real Crime Original that Woody does solo. Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite is one that I do solo. If you're not familiar with that one, I know we've dropped a couple of episodes on the Real Life Real Crime feed just to, so everybody kind of know what it was about. But I cover more, I guess, high-profile people like Diddy, who is lost his damn mind and had lost his mind for quite a while. Check that out. Local Leaders of Podcast, one that I do and have done. This was the first podcast. This kind of kicked everything off for me many years ago. It's about a five-year-old podcast. And we talked to small business owners all over Livingston Parish and Baton Rouge and Prairieville area, kind of get their whole story of business ownership. So if you're someone that appreciates local business like I do, family and business, it'd be something you may enjoy. And hey, if you're a business owner, you can get some great tips out of that from people that have been there and done that. We also interview political figures from around the community about the great things that they're doing as well. So you can check that out. Hopefully Woody will be back in business really, really soon. And we look forward to having him back, hopefully by the next episode. I'm praying for that. But thank y'all for putting up with me for these last several episodes. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman. For Woody Everton, we are your host of Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!